بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. في رواية لعمر بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: فلما جعل الله الإسلام في قلبي أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقلت: أبسط بيمينك فلأبايعك فبسط يمينه فقبضت يدي، فقال: ما لك يا عمر؟ قلت: أردت أن أشترط. قال: تشترط بماذا؟ قلت: أن يغفر لي. قال: أما علمت أن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله، وأن الهجرة تهدم ما كان قبلها، وأن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله، وما كان أحد أحب إلي من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أجل في عيني منه، وما كنت أطيق أن أملأ عيني منه إجلالا له، ولو سئلت أن أصفه ما أتقت، لأني لم أكن أملأ عيني منه، ولو مت على تلك الحال لرجوت أن أكون من أهل الجنة. Continuing with the riwayat which describes the condition and the state of Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was in the throes of death. Just to recap what we discussed thus far, he said that if I have to describe my life, I would have to divide it into three stages. The first stage was when there was no one more hated in my eyes than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such was the extent of my hatred that if I was able to, na'uzubillah, I would have murdered or killed the Nabi of Allah. If I had to die in that condition, without a doubt, I would have been a Jahannami. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me towards Islam. I came to accept Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I hesitated, saying that I had a condition. When asked what was the condition, I said that, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be forgiven. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reassured me and said that Islam, or the acceptance of Islam, wipes out the sins of the past. Likewise, hijrat wipes out the sins of the past. The performance of an accepted hajj wipes out the sins of the past. Up to here we had already discussed. One point we wanted to elaborate on was, very, very interestingly, Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes the effect of the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that there was no one more beloved to me than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nor did anybody enjoy a greater state of awe and dignity in my eyes than the Nabi of Allah. Such was the reverence and the honor and the dignity that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoyed in my eyes. He says, I could not look directly at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا كُنْتُ أُطِيقُ أَمْلَى عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ. Out of awe and out of the dignity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent, he says, if you were to ask me to describe the Nabi of Allah, I can't describe him. Why? Because I could not look directly at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is something that we find when it comes to beauty, the beauty that Allah Ta'ala blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. If you have to do a comparison, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mi'raj describes his meeting with Sayyidina Yusuf alaihi salam. Yusuf alaihi salam is known for the great beauty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with. In fact, in that riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "U'tiya shatr al-husn." If all the beauty of the men of the world had to be divided into two parts, then half Allah Ta'ala had given Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. It's mentioned about Yusuf alayhi salam that he would, because such was the beauty Allah had given him, that there was a very, very stark and real reality of fitna. So he would actually cover his face, not expose his face when he used to be in public. Such was the extent of the beauty which Allah Ta'ala had given. We know the famous incident mentioned in the Quran when Zulaykha tried to justify, the wife of Aziz and Misr, of the minister of Egypt, when she tried to justify the infatuation that she had with Yusuf alayhi salam. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَآتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَآ وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَ فَقَالَتْ اِخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنْ وَقُلْنَ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. In a very, very beautiful and eloquent manner, the Quran describes what Zulaikha did. She prepared a meal, invited the women that had been mocking her behind her back because of her infatuation with Yusuf alayhi salam, that look, the wife of the minister has fallen passionately in love with a slave. Things like that, taunts like that were being made. So she prepared a meal, gave them fruit, and just as they were cutting the fruit, she commanded Yusuf alayhi salam to walk in front of them. They were awestruck by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam to such an extent that the Quran says that they cut through the fruit and started cutting their own flesh, the flesh of their hands, without realizing that they are actually cutting their hands. Such was the effect of the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Aisha radiallahu anha, referring to this, she says that Allah Ta'ala, or the mafhum of the narration, Allah Ta'ala placed a veil over the true beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If that beauty had to be revealed, like in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, then instead of their hands, the women of Misr would have cut their hearts if they had to be truly exposed to the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous riwayat of Ma'bad Khuzai radiallahu ta'ala anha, elderly woman in the desert, who had a brief interaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah bin Urayqit, Amir bin Fuhaira, and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. This band of four was on the journey of Hijra from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. They stopped very briefly. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously a mu'jiza, a miracle occurred when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew milk from the goat of Ma'bad Khuzai radiallahu ta'ala anha. The goat was Shatun Miryal, reached a stage in its life where it was impossible for it to give milk. We've heard the incident many times. In that, she describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that description, we find a very, very interesting word she uses. And ulama say that this was the speciality of the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is not found in the other things. For example, she used the word Waseem. Now Waseem, Yusuf alayhi salam was very, very attractive and beautiful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said half of the beauty of humanity was given to one person, Yusuf alayhi salam. But we find that beauty is such a thing that, particularly in this world, no matter how beautiful something is, as you keep looking at it, or as you are constantly exposed to it, over the passage of time, the effect of its beauty wears off inevitably. No matter how beautiful, whether it's a landscape, whether it's a waterfall, whether it's a beautiful sunset, whether it's a beautiful woman, whatever you're attracted to, as you keep looking at it, with the passage of time, the effect of its beauty wanes. This was the difference of the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she used the word Waseem. That when you looked at him, he was very, very attractive. When you looked away and you looked back, he became more attractive. In other words, Allah Ta'ala had given Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam such a beauty that the effect of it did not wane, but it in fact increased. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu described it like this. He said, "Man ra'ahu badihatan habahu." Sometimes when something is very, very beautiful, instead of you, although your heart tells you to look at it, something is mind-bogglingly handsome and attractive, naturally your instinct is to look at it. But certain things Allah has given such a beauty that your first reaction is you become awestruck. Awestruck to the point that you are overtaken by its benevolence, by its attraction, and you are forced to actually look away. So this is what Ali radiallahu anhu described. He said, "Man ra'ahu badihatan habahu." The first effect of the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be such that it would actually overtake the person. حابه, you would become awestruck. ومن خالته معرفة أحبته. Then as you interacted with him, then naturally the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would enter the heart. And يقول نعيته من رأى قبله ولا بعده مثله. And the one who described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say that before this and after this, I have never seen anything more beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أجمل الناس وأبهاهم من بعيد. Ma'bad Khuzai, in her riwayat, she goes on. She says that he was the most beautiful and attractive, but from far you would be awestruck. Woman, wa ahsanun nas wa ajmaluhum min qareeb. And as you grew closer to him, then gradually his beauty would overtake you. And this is what we find, the riwayat of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala also. He says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's beauty was such that it was almost unearthly, to the point that Sahaba would find themselves in a situation where there was a conflict of emotions when they were in the presence of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because of his mind-bogglingly handsome appearance, naturally, what is human instinct? Something is very attractive. You are magnetized. You want to look. And this is what would happen. They would want to look. But such was the ijlal and the heba and the honor and the awe which Allah Ta'ala blessed Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with, that this is what would create the conflict. You want to look, but suddenly you can't look. Because there is like a curtain. There is like a curtain of awe and ijlal, haybat and azmat, which Allah had placed for the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the protection of the people. Allah had placed this parda over his beauty. So what would happen? One to look and then can't look. This is what Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala is describing. That the heart would be overtaken with his ijlal, with his heba, with his azmat. So he said, I could not look. To such an extent, such was my respect, such was the extent of awe that I would experience in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that honestly, if you ask me to describe him, I would not be able to describe him. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, I was referring to that earlier. He says that this would happen to all the Sahaba when they were sitting. He said only two Sahaba were excluded from this. Such was their connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Anas bin Malik says sometimes an entire majma will be sitting around Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of them would be looking down. Even when they tried to look at him, they would look up and look down because they would be overtaken. Only two Sahaba were excluded from this. One was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and one was Umar radiallahu ta'ala. They enjoyed a special relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to such an extent that Anas bin Malik would say they would be the only two that would be looking directly at him. He would be smiling at them and they would be smiling at him. Their special position is like we find in other riwayat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have two ministers in the sky. They were Jibreel and Mikail alayhi salam, and my two ministers on the earth were Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Once he entered the masjid, Abu Bakr is on the right hand side, Umar is on the left hand side. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the hands of both of them, raised it up and said that Hakada nuhsharu yawm al-qiyamah. Exactly like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us on the day of judgment. But for the rest of the sahaba, there was this curtain of jalal and azmat and haybat, which referring to the riwayat of Ma'bad Khuzai radiallahu ta'ala anha, she further described it like this. She said, in samata fa'alahu al-waqar wa in takallama samahu wa'alahu al-baha. Even when the Nabi of Allah was silent, there would be waqar, dignity, a curtain of it over him. And whenever he spoke, then it was, there was this level of awe, samahu wa alahu al-baha, and this level of dignity and jalal and azmat actually increased. We find descriptions of even the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ajmal, akhal, abha, abraj, anjal, almost seven different words just describing the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was to such an, the level of his beauty was such that it was not something that you could just look at directly. And this is what Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu is describing, the effect of this. That could not fill my eyes or stare directly at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of his azmat, his ijlal, his heiba, to such an extent that if you ask me to describe him, I would not really be able to describe him. And like I said, this was generally the case with many of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously referring to the second stage of his life, where Anas bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala says that if I had passed away in this condition, then I have very real hope and expectation that without a doubt I would have been a jannati. And then he says, thumma wullina ashya'a ma adri ma khali fiha. He says, then came the third stage of my life when we were assigned positions of responsibilities, referring to the third period of his life wherein, like we find in the books of Sirah, the doors to the wealth of the world opened upon the Ummah. The wealth of the world started pouring into Madinah Munawwara. Sahaba, many of them in the latter stages of their life, first was poverty and hardship, striving in the path of Allah, serving the deen of Allah for the propagation of Islam. Then Allah gave the period of futuhat and victories. As a result of this, the wealth of the world poured into Medina. They were given positions of governorship and leadership. Such is the humility of Sahaba that this concerned them. Dunya open, we'll think, mashallah, it's a very good thing. They became concerned. Umar radiallahu ta'ala would cry and he would say that, I fear the verse of the Quran refers to me now, that أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمْ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا, that Allah will tell me on the day of judgment that Umar, whatever qurbani you gave you the return in the world. You were paid there, now there is nothing left for you. This was their humility. And this is what Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala is referring to. We've run out of time, inshallah, we'll continue responding.